Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. I'll be filling in for a while as Fred Anderle embarks on a Friday free work week. It's our aim to involve some of our regular contributors to WOSU on Fridays to create programs around leisure time activities such as dining out, reading, and going to the movies. This morning we welcome WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and son Rich, along with city scene reviewer Steve Stover. Welcome to everybody, and thank you for coming.
Marilyn?
And Steve, you've been good enough to put kind of a year-end review of restaurants together.
Yes.
For us, and there have been some casualties.
Yes, it's been, although just to set the scene, we've had a downturn, and there have been some fewer restaurants opening and maybe a few more closing, but we haven't seen a big shift in the Columbus restaurant scene yet. But
it is a tough business, and with an economic downturn, it just puts that much more pressure.
It is, and I think we'll probably see some more casualties before it's done. But a quick list, and maybe our listeners may add some more, but a quick list of some of the key closings in 2008 are RJ Snappers, Abbracci, then which changed a year ago to Alta on High.
Is now Deep Wood, the same,
right.
Same location.
And it looked like Paul Liu's Bluefish on the Cap was closed when I was there.
Yeah, I think it is.
The second time that one's gone under, right?
Yes.
They reconfigured it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Lu Panzi, but he has several other restaurants in the Columbus. And then very recently, Boma, the Bar of Modern Art on East Broad Street.
Much celebrated.
Right, and celebrated cuisine.
Is the bar still open?
We should be clear that I believe the nightclub portion of it is still open. That's not shut down.
I wonder if they're serving food at all. Maybe they are still serving some food.
Beer Nuts.
Yes. Brownstone on Main, which was a place I liked. Uptown Market in Westerville opened with a splash about a year ago. It was a fairly expensive thing to open. They didn't have alcohol at first, and then just recently they closed. And there may be some others, but those are some of the casualties.
Was that a gourmet grocery as well, or was it
really
a restaurant?
No, it was just a fancy schmancy new American restaurant in Westerville.
Now, RJ Snapper had been open for quite a while. That one was kind of a surprise.
Yes, Richard Stopper has been in the business for many, many years, and then opening the Abbracci with his son may have stretched things a little thin, but that's disappointing because that's one of the few real seafood restaurants Columbus had.
It was always very popular.
One
of the first ones in the Short North to really get things going as that neighborhood kind of came back around, so it's kind of sad to see it go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And how about additions to the restaurant scene?
Well, there have been some, and we were talking before the show about what we may see going forward in 2009, somewhat impacted by the economy, and we've seen some folks offering smaller plates, and there are two of those in the Short
North.
Well,
that's probably a good thing all the way around.
It is. Maybe the obesity increased 30% in the 90s and early 2000s. We can reverse it a little bit. There were two that opened. Hyde Park opened 11, which is right next door, a little bit north, that has tapas kind of plates.
On the cap.
And we've got details from Rosendale's.
Yes.
Very new. Opened only about a month, maybe a month and a half. Been there, and it's good. It's small. It's open for lunch. But it's a good one to try.
And that's pretty much in the same location, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right next door. It's right south of his principal restaurant. And I think, although it's a separate kitchen, you can get from one to the other.
Is it all small plates and little?
Yeah, it's all
tastes?
Small plates. Yeah.
Now, in contrast, 11 actually shares a kitchen with Hyde Park, but they do the smaller plates. It's much more of a kind of a night spot, drinks and appetizers rather than the sit down type that Hyde Park would have.
Maybe more for your age group than
maybe
me.
So.
Rich and me.
Do they open at 5?
That's the beauty of radio. We're all the same age.
Do they have an early bird special?
I don't think so.
And how about some other additions?
Well, let's see. We've got Gordon's, which just got reviewed yesterday in the
Tell me about Gordon's.
Well, Rich could probably tell you more because I think he was a classmate.
Yeah, actually, he was a couple years older than me. But it's Chef Gordon O'Reilly. He's been at several places in town, Rigsby's. I believe he worked at Bossy for a while. And he's actually – it's a catering service with a storefront on 1335 Dublin Road. excellent place. I think we're actually going to visit it shortly hereafter. And then they also provide unique service called Executive Chef Dinner, where actually Gordon will go out to residents and prepare meals for, you know, I believe about 8 to 12 people, multiple courses. So it's kind of a multifaceted idea, which I think is a great idea in this economy. You know, you can't rely solely on one business model. And I think they've got a great idea. He teamed up with a high school classmate of his, Ted Bebart, who was, I believe, new to the restaurant business, but knew Gordon's quality of his work, and I wish them all the best.
Where is it? Where's 1335? Is it where the old Arlington Arms was?
It's in like an office park with several small offices, kind of a mirrored facade. The address is 1335.
Okay.
And it is featured prominently up front, and I believe they did just put a new sign up. Only been open about 3 months, but last I stopped in, they said that things are going great, and doing well.
So they're in a location where they're not really going to be able to rely on street traffic. It's going to have to be a destination pretty much.
I think so, yeah.
Well, besides that, there are about, I believe, 50 or 60 offices in the complex that they're in. And I know that in talking to them that a lot of the other businesses and, you know, the people that work there are very grateful to have it because that stretch of Dublin Road, there's nothing much besides a Wendy's, 1 mile either way from it. So, and they also, I believe there's, you know, like a large law firm building across the street. They do, you know, delivery over there. So,
It used to be the old Arlington Arms.
It used to be the Arlington Arms.
That's where we had our rehearsal dinner 41 years. Mary and I had our rehearsal dinner.
Well, and now that they have chefs coming to the home, Steve, you can finally get a decent meal.
Oh, God knows it won't be me.
But food feuding here, I guess.
Food feud. But there are a lot of others, and it's almost surprising that we had as many important openings in 2008 as we did.
Right.
Because with, you know, the economy was headed down, and I think a couple just sort of slipped in. And we wish them well. Deepwood,
we talked about a little bit. And that's a beautiful spot. And if we can get past, and I think they can, by way of valet parking, folks' fear of going to that particular stretch of the Short North and finding a parking space, they'll be okay. It was well done. It's a beautiful place.
Absolutely beautiful. And I think we talked as much about the decor as we did about the food. And according to an article not too long ago in the Dispatch, I guess Short North restaurants are hiring athletes now as valets since these guys are getting in about 10, 12 miles a night.
I think they need a parking garage. It's really – we were there on a rainy night recently, and it was just – awful.
I believe the Pizzuti companies are building in the location of the old United Commercials Travelers building a large retail and condo space.
That building has been vacated.
And they are planning on putting in a large parking garage as part of that development. Mm-hmm. However, obviously that, you know, probably won't be complete for the next few years.
Another part of my youth down the drain. I worked there for my father from age 16 to 20.
Okay, that's the building. Okay.
Maybe I can do a reminiscent tour.
You can take us down memory lane. We're talking
we'll get carry out nearby.
Right. Restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who's a new addition to our little Soundbites team, and we're more than glad to have him. And with Steve Stover of City Scene Magazine. Thank you all very much. We're kind of doing a year in review. If you have restaurants that you either miss or you've heralded in this year, we'd like to hear from you as well.
Absolutely. That's how we get a lot of our information.
Right. And we have gone out to lunch and done reviews based on listener recommendations.
Yeah.
And so we really are. We can't keep up with everything. So we're relying on listeners to share their information as well.
Now, Steve, you've been to Giorgio's. That's another
one, too. I have.
Too.
That's in the Beechwold area, near Arcadian High, near – well, all my directions have to do with restaurant locations, but it's where the Aladdin's is and near Mozart's, Denise's Ice Cream, and the late great.
You do know that area pretty well.
The late great. What's the great? Toledo's.
Toledo's.
Yeah. But it's right there, and it's in the original Toledo's building. I think that the guy who owns Aladdin's and Giuseppe were involved in helping the chef get the place started, but it's called Giorgio, G-I-O-R-G-I-O.
As in Armani.
And it is Italian, shockingly. And the chef is John Skaggs, who was the opening chef or one of the early chefs at North Star and also worked for a while at the retooled Lantib. And it was good. We were there. I had a nice veal scallopini marsala that was good, and I think that's an interesting one.
Now, Marilyn and I went to Lantib for lunch.
Well, that was a very short celebration of lunch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think they stopped serving lunch. It's still up and functioning, but without skanks.
Yeah, and I've heard about having a new chef and things like that. So I think they're good to go. The young chef who bought it had worked again at North Star, and he's brought in several other chefs. But when we were there, it was good. I mean, I think we should support. I mean, we have some great restaurants in Columbus, and we have four or five that could probably go anywhere in the United States and be successful. And we've had two of them change hands in the last 18 months, sort of almost a generational changing of the guard, the sale, Dale Gussett's sale of L'Antibe and Hartmut Hanke's sale of Hanke's Cuisine. So we've got a changing of the guard, and I think we need to support these restaurants because they're treasures. And if we turn around and don't support them or complain about the size of the portions or the $30 entrees, which are pretty much ubiquitous now, we won't have these things in Columbus.
Yeah, I agree. I was pleased. We went to lunch. Actually, Rich and Marilyn and I went to lunch because they were open briefly for lunch in December to Hanke's. And Chef Asa is cooking, and Asa was Hanke's executive sous chef. And from the meal that he prepared for lunch, I think they haven't missed a beat.
We've been there for dinner and a wine dinner, and it's very good. And a lot of people don't know that Chef Hanke's gone, and if you go in, I don't think the food's missed a beat this year.
Yeah. Well, I think that was probably their goal in their purchase of that. There was nothing wrong with it to begin with, and his footprint is still all over the place. Asa worked under Chef for 4 years there. Everything appeared exactly as was.
Yeah, he's a CIA-trained chef, cooked in Luxembourg or someplace like that in Europe for a while.
Asa Rodriguez. He's a good guy, good chef.
Yeah. 292-8513 is the number. You can also email us at openline@wosu.org. We do have Carl on the line. We're talking about some closings and openings of new restaurants this year, and we'd like to hear from you as well. Hi, Carl.
Hi. I think it was this year. Elemental closed. And they now have the Black Creek Bistro in there.
That's right.
And that was quite good. We went there the other night and had a very good meal.
Are they still open?
Black Creek Bistro?
In the old location. They're going to be
actually
moving.
Steve, they are. I can answer that. I just went in there with my mom the other day, actually. They purchased the old firehouse building across.
They never take me along.
it's for those of you who don't know, the old location was on one corner of Oak and Parsons, and they purchased the old firehouse building, which also provided them with a parking lot across the street, which was one of actually Marilyn and my father and I reviewed that about a year ago, and we thought it was wonderful. But one thing we commented on was the lack of parking, and it also being kind of on the Near East Side of Columbus, that might be a hindrance to their business. But they're planning on moving into the new firehouse building, and Black Creek Bistro is still up and operating, though, on the corner of Oak and Parsons for the moment.
Great wine pricing.
Great wine pricing.
State minimum retail plus 7.
Another new one is the Wine Guy.
The Wine Guy opened.
He's in
Pickerington and has been there for a couple of years. He just opened in Gahanna, and my article in City Scene that should be out today is about wine bars, and he's planning two other Wine Guy wine bistros around the Columbus area. So that'll be a good thing.
Are they akin to Vino and?
Well, I haven't been to the one in Gahanna, but the one in Pickerington is a big place. It's a large retail store with a wine tasting bar sort of in the middle, setting off a dining room that may hold 60 or more people. And they feature small plates that can become small or big plates and lots of wine flights. And that's been a real trend, I think, at the end from 2007 into 2009. I think there are 9 wine bars in the article. Some of them are really wine stores. Maybe two of them are just wine stores that may have a little food, but a full wine bar kind of thing.
Did you cover the one at Whole Foods?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Is that a wine bar?
They have a wine bar in the middle of besides
in the wine.
I mean the
restaurant
in the wine section. Yeah.
Yeah,
they have a wine bar there
with food.
With food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I missed that one.
Yeah, it's and it's very popular. I think
the restaurant.
Except the Whole Foods up on Sawmill.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
292-8513 is the number, and we also have an email today from Jeff who wants to know, thank you, Carl, what are the 5 top restaurants in Columbus in terms of healthy eating, fair prices, and cleanliness?
North Star, would be.
And that's expanding too, isn't it? Aren't they opening still another restaurant?
That's going to be a different concept. The North Star restaurant at High Street and 2nd, and then there's one in Beechwood or whatever, High Street south of Henderson. And I've talked to Katie and her husband, and but they haven't they've got the property. It's going to be the old Gibby's. It was in the Dispatch, so I think I can talk
on
about
third?
That much.
Oh.
Yeah. And but I think it's going to be a little more upscale bar type, but I can't say for sure at this
point.
But
the product at the North Star, and they've I think it's been maintained at the location in Clintonville or Beechwold, the one on 2nd and High, it's just terrific quality. Mm-hmm. He buys – it's local sourcing. It's all fresh. They've got what some of us claim to be the only real veggie burger in town. Mm-hmm. It's not made by Swanson's and it's not frozen. they've got healthy juices. I know Marilyn loved that carrot juice.
I'm still orange.
Carrot juice that she had when we were there. That's a great place.
I love it. Cookies. But they do have cookies in addition to all that healthy stuff.
Okay, so Jeff was inquiring as to the top five. How about four?
Oh, the top five we talked about. Well, I think we agree. Do you want Hanky's Cuisine?
No, healthy and less expensive, I think.
Top five healthy and less
expensive. Well, good food, fair pricing, and cleanliness were his concerns.
North Star would be one. Starliner Diner would certainly be one where there are no entrees more than $10, and you can absolutely fill yourself up with good made-from-scratch food for $8 or $9. That would be another one.
Jeff has amended his email. He wants to know about international restaurants. So.
Okay, well, we can do that too. But before we get off the topic, I think most of
– included in this group.
Okay. The Betty's, I think, has a healthy and interesting menu, and the prices are certainly fair. Betty's, the Tip Top, and
Surly Girl. I wouldn't describe Surly Girl's menu as particularly healthy. I think that Betty's might be a little.
It was surprisingly good, though.
Found it.
Bodega,
my favorite comfort
on the street.
Yeah, Bodega. It's a good place.
But ethnic or international, one of my favorites is Cuco's Taqueria on Henderson.
Absolutely,
that is just one of the great. It's like a mile from my house. Interesting juxtaposition across from City Barbecue, the original City Barbecue. But Juan, the owner, really does a good job, and there are always a lot of specials. And
one of those margaritas as we speak.
Good margaritas.
Well, we did go there for lunch, and they're very much geared to lunch, getting you in and getting you out. Obviously, that area is dense with office workers and retail store employees, and those people generally have 45 minutes to an hour for lunch and have to get in, eat, and get out.
But it was great quality.
Absolutely.
They have a daily special that's worth trying. All of them.
They even braise stuff. Well, if you talk about ethics, almost all are probably generally good values compared to the high-end places. But with the exception of the Japanese, and we have maybe some of the best Japanese food in America right here in Columbus, Ohio. But if you other than Chinese, we have Vietnamese and Korean and Pan Asian, the haiku and great Thai places, Thai Taste, Thai Orchid.
Yeah, PS
Thai. I was just there about
which
a week
is on,
ago.
I believe North Star and 3rd.
Turkish restaurants, Caribbean, Persian, Ethiopian, even Somali restaurants in Columbus, Ohio, half a dozen of those. And then the mom and pop's Mexican. So we have gone in 25 years from having Geem Long, Yong Mei, and Prizzuti's being our only ethnic restaurants to having really world cuisine, Salvadorian in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
Oh, and I mean, just look at, if you go into the North Market now. I went the other day with my wife and we couldn't really decide what to eat. All we knew was we wanted something ethnic. And I said, well, let's go to North Market and, you got Furdue's, Flavors of India, the Italian place, I can't remember.
Pastoria.
There's a Chinese place, Lo Duck, I believe.
There's a Vietnamese
place is absolutely wonderful.
Those noodle bowls
are just terrific.
There's
a Mexican one.
Yeah.
We're talking with restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich Terapak, who are part of our WOSU Soundbites team, along with Steve Stover of City Scene Magazine. And we're going to take another call, this one from Devin. Hi. You with us?
Hi. Yeah, I'm with you. I wanted to ask your reviewers what they thought of, and I think this is a new opening this year, Pomegranate off of Hamilton Road up in Gahanna. We ate there and thought it was really good.
Well, tell us about it, because this is one of those times when we're anxious
stump
to hear.
Stump the panel.
You stump the panel, and we need to know about it. So
there
we
are many places we haven't been.
It's Mediterranean, and it's owner-operated, and we had great kefta there. They have a kind of traditional kefta, and then it's like a lamb burger kind of thing.
Right.
And then they have a Moroccan one that has raisins and these wonderful cumin spices and all sorts of things.
Wow. That's on...
Where is it? Hamilton Road?
It's on Hamilton Road, just a little bit north of Morse, kind of across from Meyer there.
Okay, up near Chai Tai.
Yeah, but it's very reasonable, lovely decor, and really great food. It's kind of our new place we like to go to now.
Pomegranate.
Thank you.
That's a good tip, and we'll have to visit there in the future. We've got an email from Carol who wants to know if we've been to Lavash, which sounds kind of similar. It's in Clintonville, Lavash. In fact, somebody put a menu on my desk the other day, so this is kind of a coincidence.
Well, you know more about it than
well,
I do.
Well, from what I can tell, it's a Greek restaurant. I really don't know any more than that. We'll have to put that on our list.
How far north?
I think it's right in central Clintonville. Unfortunately, Carol has emailed us rather than on the phone, so we can't get any clarification.
Call in, Carol.
Yes, Carol. Give us a call. Let's see. Amy, our producer, it's near Aladdin's. That's what we've got.
Okay.
So
one-stop shopping.
Yeah, that's another one that'll go on our list. And we've got a couple of more minutes here. We'd like to hear from you. 292-8513 is the number, and we'll talk with Mary. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you. Yes, talking about ethnic restaurants, I want to recommend Bamboo Cafe, which recently opened on Bethel Road, 774 Bethel Road. I've been there several times. I love Vietnamese food. And Kevin, the owner, has some wonderful appetizers and pho and desserts and the wonderful Vietnamese hot coffee and homemade coconut ice cream.
Ooh, that's great.
Yeah, very, very good. And the other side of the menu is Thai. And I haven't tried the Thai food, but if it's as good as the Vietnamese food, I think that's a good one to check out. It's extremely clean. He's designed the interior himself, and the bathrooms are just wonderful. Just like a little palace in there.
We could use another Vietnamese place. We've got Saigon Palace downtown and Ha Long Bay up in Polaris, so having a Vietnamese out in Northwest with all those wonderful fresh herbs is... That's great.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yes, I highly recommend it.
Thank you very much. This is one of the reasons that we love to hear from listeners is because we can get a lot of good ideas about places to go and visit for our restaurant reviews.
Tonight, I love that coconut ice cream. It's just great stuff, and it's classic Thai and Vietnamese.
292-8513 is the number. We're going to take a break here and be back in about a minute and a half with more with our restaurant reviewers, Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. Thank you.
Next time on Day to Day.
There are long waits everywhere for unemployment assistance.
It's much longer than the last time I came here.
In North Carolina, it's even longer.
Record numbers of out-of-work people crashed state computers.
What that did was clog up our web traffic and our phone lines on Monday.
One state's struggle to help the jobless.
It's going to take a little bit longer to process.
Next time on Day to Day. Day to Day begins in 30 minutes. It starts at noon, right here on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Global Gallery, a nonprofit featuring fair trade coffee and handcrafts from around the world. In the short Northeastern Yellow Springs and now in their new location in Clintonville Commons. Information at globalgalleryonline.org.
And taking a look at the weather forecast, we do have a winter storm watch going into effect late tonight through Saturday evening. For tonight, you can expect some freezing rain and some snow, and a possible snow accumulation for Saturday of anywhere between 2 and 4 inches.
WOSU News reports on stories from around the state and in your backyard.
Since 2004, Ohio has lost 67,000 jobs in manufacturing. Three of them were held by Greg Waller.
After 24 years,
It laid approximately half of us off.
Get more from your news with the award-winning WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music.
And now, back to Open Line.
I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here filling in for Fred Anderle today, and we're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene with reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. And the lines here at 292-8513 are practically full, so we're going to go right back to the phones and Walt. You there, Walt?
Hi, I'm here. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I had recently eaten twice at a place called Pacific Eatery at the corner of Kenny and Old Henderson. Mm-hmm. They have sort of a pan-Asian gourmet Chinese cuisine, and the prices are reasonable. The lunches are, you know, like $6-$7, and the dinners are like in the $12 range or $10, depending on what you get. Yep. But the interesting thing I noticed, somehow they got left out of the phone book, and that's a killer for the restaurant business.
We ought to support them.
So their phone number is 451-1428. They are in business, so despite the fact that they're not in the yellow pages or in the white pages, excellent cuisine.
You'd never believe that Northwest Columbus would be such a hotbed of Asian cuisine, because we've got that. We've got Spring of China on Reed Road. We've got Thai Taste and all the Japanese restaurants around what used to be Restaurant Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like you've got the Vietnamese and Thai there, too. So
yeah, in Bethel. Yeah.
This is, I'd call it pan-Asian. It's not your general Cho's chicken, you know, the usual menu you see in some Chinese folks places, but it's excellent.
Well, that's in the Stover's neighborhood, too.
I know.
And the, you know, that really is quite a food strip when you think about all the. We also have good old City Barbecue and Cuco's and the other
kids. It's surprising.
And we've got an email here, someone who's interested in sort of the other half of the world. They need pierogies. They need pierogies and borscht, it says, and some potato pancakes. Now, there used to be Christina's over there in Grandview, which has since closed, and we had gotten the impression from the owner that he was looking for another location. But I haven't seen that reopened.
I haven't either.
That's all I know from what I heard from you.
So. Yeah. You know, something close to that is the Easy Living on Lane.
That's right.
You just
reviewed that.
Yeah, it used to be a little gourmet shop with wines and cheeses and fancy meats. It was taken over by one of the Ohio State's famous place kickers,
Vlade Yanikevsky.
Good for
Very
you, Rich.
Good.
If you could do that phonetically for me.
Well, apparently the need for pierogies will go on.
Yeah.
And,
but they have them there.
Well,
you can buy and take out.
They have various items that I think have, you know,
Mediterranean to Middle European type flair.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, you're right. Having something that would be a little bit more Balkan would be great.
And we're looking at Columbus's restaurant scene on Open Line today. I'm Marilyn Smith. Rich Terapak, his son Rich, who are our own soundbite restaurant reviewers here on WOSU, along with Steve Stover. And we have another call here from Adam. Hi, Adam. Are you there? Adam?
Hi, yes. Yes, that was a quick question. I was just wondering, I'm having a problem finding any good Cajun cuisine, or any at all, actually. And I was wondering if you guys could recommend any restaurants around town.
Well, it used to be the Brownstone on Main. The only place I know of in Columbus these days that used to be huge is the cafe in the basement of the Rife State Office Tower at the corner of State and Third. I can't remember the name of it right now, but they have a lot of daily specials, and my wife has been there and said it's pretty good. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not exactly. I've never been there.
At Broad... A block south of Broaden High is High and State, and there's a big state office building there called the Rife Building. And if you go into the basement of there, there's the usually dreaded State House Cafe kind of place. But this woman has taken it over, and it's really pretty good. And it is, as far as I can think of, the only Cajun or New Orleans style cuisine in the Central Ohio area.
Well, thank you, Mary Stover, because I'm right next door in that building, and I've not been there.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, you can actually reach it from the Huntington Building as well. Through the if you go down to the bottom floor of the Huntington Building, it's a popular place to shoot over to and eat. I'm shocked you haven't heard of it.
I know.
It's not open
don't
for dinner.
Much.
It's only open for breakfast and lunch.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call. And as we see, there are a couple of holes, at least, in the international cuisine, in the Columbus restaurant scene, Eastern European and Cajun. And I'm kind of surprised about that.
Yeah, I am, too.
There'd be some more Cajun restaurants.
Particularly, Cajun kind of went in and out of style. Yeah. But to not have, I think we've got a decent proximity to the Slavic communities of Cleveland and others that we'd have. Right.
And German? There's really not much in the area. Right. We used to have German, lots of places in German Village.
Now there's just Schmitz. Really Schmitz, which is a wonderful spot. Now there's not really any alternative.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find good spots.
And one of our listeners has more information on Lavash, which is the restaurant in Clintonville we were talking about. Salita, are you there?
Yes, hi. Yes, Lavash. It's right across the street from Cup of Joe's on North High Street in Buttonville. And it is owned by one of the original owners of Fear Deuce that used to be
Nasser Latif.
Yeah.
That's Nasser's place. Okay.
Right. That's his place, and it's all new and glitzy and more, cafeteria style. And it's not Greek. It's Middle Eastern. I'm not sure why people call Middle Eastern food Greek.
It's Greek to me. I don't know.
But he is a maniac for freshness and cleanliness.
But there's another Middle Eastern place that's just kind of a little hole in the wall, too, that's delicious, and that's Pita Hut.
Wasn't that clever?
Have you ever been there?
No.
Excellent. And I missed one of the best Middle Eastern places, and that was called Sinbad's on campus. Sadly, they closed that up.
I remember that place.
At least we had the sandwich, the New Orleans sandwich on North High Street.
Poor boys.
Boys. Uh-huh. That's another of the Cajun places. Yeah, it is good.
It's very good. And the owner is certainly a character.
Yeah.
There's only seating for about a half person inside there.
There are literally three chairs.
I feel sorry because I go by there every day and I think, is he making a living? I don't know.
The food was really wonderful. Yeah. And I did talk to him afterwards because he called to thank us and apparently had a rush for lunch after our review was on. We highly recommended that.
Good. One last note. I don't know if they still do, but the Flatiron building, that restaurant, is that still around?
It's still around, and it's sort of a little more upscale. Last time I was there, they had one or two Cajun style offerings, but I don't know if that would be regular. But it's worth a try anyway for the barbecue and the just really good food and one of the best burgers in town.
Is Kent Rigsby still involved in that?
No, he was, and the owner makes it very clear that he's – but I do think they use Eleni Cristini breads and stuff like that, so there's some informal relationship, but that's a good place.
They used to have a lot of cases.
And that Nasser Latif, he used to have the original for Deuce in
11th
campus.
And High.
Yeah. Great old place. And then he was at the North Market with the Express.
Right.
But he's a maniac for cleanliness and freshness. And so I think that's probably a good pedigree for that Lavage place.
And did we find out from you where Pita Hut is?
Pita Hut is just south of Graceland on the same side of the street, on the west side of the street. And it's in a little tiny strip area right next to Bob's Bar, if anybody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beer bar, isn't it?
Yeah. Pita, if you're looking for really authentic, if you're, Palestinian or Israeli, that sort of Middle Eastern food, that's really the best.
Good tip.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much. 292-8513 is the number to call. You can also email us at openline@wosu.org. We're here with restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. And if you'd like to weigh in with your favorite restaurant, or we're kind of doing a year-end review, restaurants that have survived 2008 and restaurants that didn't quite make it. And we'll take another call now from Janet. Hi, Janet.
Hi. You've got my favorite topic, food, but... I have another restaurant, which I don't know if someone's mentioned, in the Kenny Old Henderson neighborhood called Dosa Corner. Mm-hmm. And it's the dosa is an underused Indian food. It's South Indian, and the owner is from Bangalore. And my family all enjoy it. And people, I think, have a fear that it might be too spicy or too hot, and it is not. But if you've never ordered a dosa, get a masala dosa and dip it in the sambal sauce, and you will have a delicious lunch for, I think, about $6.
Is it vegetarian?
Yeah, I don't think
South
Indian.
South Indian.
I don't know if he carries anything with meat because my family, we are vegetarians and we eat a lot of Indian food as well as other ethnic foods. But no one makes a dosa like he does, and they do. There is another dosa South Indian restaurant right off of Bethel at Banana Leaf.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm afraid, though, I think the Dosa Corner has them hands down.
And there's also Udupi Cafe, which is
up on
161.
Uh-huh, right, which I must say I didn't enjoy nearly as much as this little place. But anyway, that's my favorite, probably my favorite place to have lunch.
Thank you.
Columbus.
Thank
Thanks.
You. We get a lot of requests for vegetarian options, and so it's good to hear that.
And it's good to know that so many people are supporting restaurants here in Columbus. You had mentioned early, Steve, that this is going to be a critical year for many of these restaurants, kind of a make-or-break year for many. And if people don't support them, you know, they can't exist.
And they are making some accommodations,
yes.
Steve's found out. Katzinger's.
Katzinger's has taken a couple bucks off their sandwiches, and a lot of people are doing specials, maybe even some comforty food things where you've got a lower food cost so that they can do it. And Rich and I are going to ask Rich to take us to all the top five restaurants this year as his guest to help our own economic situation.
Exactly.
I've been in the situation with the Chirapax where no one had any money, and I think you're barking up a dead tree.
I know that well.
Another place I wanted to mention, because it kind of surprised me quite pleasantly, Bexley's Monk, which is a higher-end fare, has actually created smaller plates for all of their entrees on their menu. Which, takes it down. They usually – entrees average about $22 to $30, and the smaller plates average about, I believe, $13 to $19.
Mid-teens. Yeah. I was there Tuesday.
Yeah. And it's great to see some of the higher-end plates.
Now, has the Monk sort of regained the popularity that it once enjoyed in Bexley?
I can't say it truly has. I think they've done everything that – they can to help improve it. They brought in a new chef just a couple of years ago. I mean, the food is it's top notch.
Still there,
yeah.
And they still have the entertainment each night of the week, which is a great thing.
Mark Flugie was there the night we were there. The bar was really busy, and we were thrilled to find the small plates. We didn't even know about that.
Right. No, they haven't really advertised it much. I found it by going in myself. I mean, I think the bar area still does a good bit of business with their wood-fired oven there. But the dining room doesn't appear to be packed when I've been in. Mm-hmm. Granted, I'm usually in a little later for the music, so maybe I'm wrong. But
I wonder if having that Bexley Gateway, if that's helping the overflow from there.
I think it's creating a little bit of a critical mass. Because
traffic.
Because we've got
Well, there's several other restaurants down there now. They've got the Rusty Bucket and Jenny's, Mozart's Cafe. So
Giuseppe's is
Giuseppe.
Nearby.
Giuseppe's is right there on the corner of Drexel and Main.
Finally, there are places to eat in Bexley.
Yeah, no, it's great. Main Street is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Well, your dad and I did go to the Monk, I think it was last year, and I was wonderfully surprised by it. It was very, very good. And I know for a while there was some trouble and changing of employees and chefs and whatnot. And it looked to me like they were right back on track.
Yeah.
The place was nice.
Yeah.
Really pleasant evening.
Yeah.
292-8513. We're talking about Columbus restaurants. And we have a line open for you. We're going to talk now with Mark. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. You?
Well, unfortunately, one of your previous callers stole my thunder, but I wanted to give a shout-out to the Pita Hut as well.
Well, that's great because we hadn't heard of that before.
I've eaten at Lavash and at Pita Hut, and Pita Hut is by far and away the best shawarma in the city. They do all the falafel to order. It's fantastic. I probably eat there once a week.
It's just terrific to have contest for shawarma.
Where exactly is it?
This is south of Graceland.
We've been told it's across from Cup of Joe. Was that?
Okay. No, that was
Lavash. No, that's Lavash. This one's south of Graceland. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah.
Yes, it's right next to Bob's Bar.
That's
DJ's.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Riverly, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much, and your thunder is always safe with us.
Yeah, two votes.
I wanted to mention one of my favorite authentic Mexican restaurants now that she took my and that's, I don't know if you've been to Taqueria El Paso on 161. It's in the Sharon Woods Shopping Center, just I think west of Carl.
Whoa.
Well, this is a great day for the panel because
I've got a whole page of places listed.
Absolutely.
It's not Tex-Mex. It's very authentic. You know, they probably have six or seven different taquitos. It's just fantastic. The food is really good. Most of the clientele is Latino, so if that says anything.
It's usually an endorsement.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And, again, the number is 292-8513. We're talking about Columbus Restaurants with reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. And we've got lines open if you'd like to weigh in. We're going to talk now with Aaron. Hi. Apparently not. Well, then I'm confused. 292-8513 is the number, and we'll take a call here. Is this Aaron? Apparently.
No.
Who do we have?
You're on.
Go ahead.
You have Deborah.
Okay, Deborah, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention Sage American Bistro.
Yes.
It's on High and Doddridge. They've been open a couple of months. I've been in there twice. The food each time was outstanding. The service was outstanding. And my favorite is they had a dessert that was not chocolate.
Oh, no. That's a sin.
What's good about that?
Some of us do not get the chocolate.
Well, some of us don't love chocolate the way other people do.
Exactly. So I appreciate a well-thought-out dessert that is not chocolate.
And we really need to support that place because it's in the old Turkish cuisine location on High Street south of Doddridge. And it's hard to find and it's hard to see because of construction on High Street, and it's been going on since early September. I feel so badly.
And some of the businesses up there have actually done things to
and there is parking in the back.
People to come through.
But don't be thrown off.
The back being on the west side of the street.
It's absolutely worth a trip, and we should support it because just because the city of Columbus has taken a year to fix the street in front of it, I don't want to lose that one because that's
right. They opened almost simultaneously with the repair of High Street.
Yeah, that's a tough deal.
But you're right. It's on the west side behind that the row of buildings or shops on High Street is a fairly large parking lot. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your call today.
You're welcome.
We're going to go back to the phone now, and Carl, let me see if I can get this straight. Is that you, Carl? For some reason, this isn't...
Our entire board is lighting up. a lot of calls. Carl gave
got
up
one.
Us, I think.
Okay, Carl, are you with us?
Well, please keep them coming, folks, because this is really great. I know most of this panel, you know, we can only get out to eat so much.
Go eat six times a day.
You know, we all love to cook at home, so any recommendations you guys can bring to the table is much appreciated by the whole community.
Okay, this was going so well. I'm going to go back to the phones and see if we've got Lori here. Is that you, Lori?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Ah, good.
Bingo.
Hi, I'm actually a native of New Orleans, and I have a great restaurant that I've been to a number of times. It's strictly carry out. It's called the Creole Kitchen, and it's in the Mount Vernon Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the most authentic of anything I've had here since the guy at Reed and Henderson passed away. They have crawfish, shrimp, oysters, etouffee, po' boys. They even have beignets. So
it's Chef Henry Butcher.
It was Chef Henry. You're right. This chef, I think his name is Butch.
That's his nickname.
It's either him or his son.
Yeah.
But
No. This is an African American chef.
Yeah.
Who's at the Creole Kitchen?
Henry Butcher's. I think that's him. He used to be up in Delaware. He's been cooking around Columbus.
Oh, right,
When I was there, it was fabulous, and I'm sorry we forgot that because it is a great place.
Yeah, he serves up great food, and it's pretty cheap. He'd like to expand to have seating, but right now it's all carry out.
Well, we ate in the kitchen, so.
Lucky you.
Hopefully our listener's still out there who called in about
that
Creole
was,
Kitchen.
That's a great place.
Yeah, we're going to have to give that one a try, too, and glad to hear that there are some other options here. 292-8513 is the number. We're talking about Columbus Restaurants today, and we're going to Seamus. Hi. Hmm. This reminds me of a terrible old TV show I did where the phones went dead, and I think it was an hour of tax filing. And
well, Rich could finish up our list of top new places in the last 18 months.
Yeah, we've left out a couple. Tassi, which is an extension of Rigsby's. Tassi is Kent's wife, and it's located in the old Pistachio location.
Pearl.
On Pearl, I guess it's Pearl Alley, right behind, right east of Rigsby's. Good, really good quality stuff.
It's in the location, if anyone's familiar with Pistachio, when it used to be there. It's now called, it's a lovely dessert shop.
Rigsby's.
Right.
Yeah.
But and then also Pistachio is now Pistachio Vera, located on 3rd Avenue, or 3rd Street, excuse me, in German Village in the old Thurn's building.
Yeah.
And Tassi is one of those restaurants that specializes in comfort food, and parking is at a premium, and seating is somewhat at a premium unless you're willing to sit
communally.
Communally, that's right, and make new friends, and which is kind of fun as well.
But the wine prices are great. It's just a great little place.
And I haven't tried Black Olive. That's on Buttles and Hines.
I've got really mixed reviews on that.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's somewhat Middle Eastern or Greek.
Greekish.
Yeah. That's one of the new ones. Steve, you've tried, we should have, but you've tried the Creekside.
Yeah. Well, first, Maca Cafe is a not-to-be-missed place. It's a tapas restaurant, an authentic Spanish tapas restaurant in beautiful downtown Powell. It's absolutely worth a journey. They've got maybe 15 to 18 hot and cold tapas. Very authentic. The stuffed piquillos are just wonderful. The wine prices are fair, and it's small, but I think they're going to try to expand, though it's tough.
Is that on Powell Road?
Powell Road, right in Powell. Creekside and Gahanna, there's Mezzo, which we had a good experience with. It's sort of a real pretty place on the creek with a fountain outside and Italian, although if you for the food, I'd go over to
Lola's
in a little strip mall. By the Pizza Plus and Buck Mulligan's. Well,
with that, Lola's, you get entertainment because Lola comes out and talks to you a lot.
But I heard they have wine.
Well, we'll
we need
hurry
to go
back.
There. And Chai Tai, which is a Pan Asian restaurant up on Hamilton Road, south of 161. So those are some of the other new ones. And Luce, another strong recommendation. Chef Alex Rodriguez, who used to be at the opening chef at BOMA, then at the Clements Museum of Art, is doing a great job up at Luce. It's a wine bar, Coombe restaurant on Sawmill Road, a mile north of Powell. So bring your lunch if you're going up there from downtown.
Hotel reservations.
I'm sorry. Restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with Steve Stover, who is with City Scene magazine. And I hesitate to go back to the phone, but I'm going to give it one more shot and see if Jay is there. Jay?
Hi.
Thank you.
I'm glad you were able to save me here.
You saved me, Jay.
I had an opportunity to travel to El Salvador this past year, and the food there was absolutely wonderful. So I'm looking for a referral, actually, for a quality Salvadoran restaurant here in the Columbus area.
Well, if it's still open, there's a place called the Salvador. It's called the Salvadorian or Salvadoria, Salvadorano Family Restaurant, and it's in the Morris and Carl Road area. The last I heard a report on it was probably 2 years ago, but it was John Christensen, in fact, really liked it. And so I think there's a little bit of Salvadorian food at a little place called El Arepa, which is in the alley where Clem's Ringside is.
Oh,
right,
we went
High
there
Street.
Last summer.
Colombian and a little bit of so those two are
close. It's a close cuisine. Yeah, the Arepa.
The Arepas.
Yeah.
And they had South American fare but was that crowded.
Gets packed at lunchtime downtown. Very fresh ingredients. So that was, I think, the most impressive thing I found about it.
And where was the second place located?
In the alley. I can't remember. It might be Pearl Alley. That runs
between Gay and Broad Street on Pearl Alley.
Just east of High Street.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Now, what is it that characterizes Salvadoran food as opposed to other Latin American food?
You know, I think it's interesting because you've got, for everything sort of Western, I guess, in South America. You do have some Asian influences, and I think that might be, you know, part of, you know, if in Peru and Ecuador, you've got a lot of Japanese and other Asians, and
sort
I think
like
that brings
some dumpling kind of things and cilantro and.
And, right. You know, and there's some universality to anything within about 200 miles of the equator. You know, everybody uses cilantro. They use it in El Salvador, and they use it in Thailand. There are some similarities. So I think that's probably what influences.
Columbus Restaurants, that's the topic today on Open Line. And we'd like to hear from you as well, 292-8513. You can email us at wosu.org. And here's Carl. He has a recommendation. Hi.
Hi. I really like Paul's Pantry. It's in Grandview Close.
Talk about comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah, comfort food. Yeah. I just wondered, it sounds like you like it. I wanted to see if your guests, what they think about Paul.
I was there last week. Paul Panzera is a well-known and classically trained chef who's been open in Granby. It used to be Paul's Pantry. Now it's gone upscale about 5 years ago called Paul's Fifth Avenue.
We talked him out of shape, Paul.
Yeah. And we go and get they have wonderful pastas. We get tortellini, casalinga, which has a little cream sauce, peas, prosciutto, and things like that. And $12.95, including a salad.
And with a large portion.
And then they have specials. You can go to paulsonline.com, and you might find prime rib or stuff like that. A fairly nice wine list. It's a little – I mean, it's more like a diner kind of decor, but if you want good food – nicely prepared at fair prices, I think that's a good choice.
And they've got a nice patio. Another thing is their service. It's outstanding. I don't know. You just feel comfortable. But anyway, I'm glad you agree.
If you call a couple of days ahead, they'll make corned beef hash for you.
Only if you know Paul.
I know through my accountant who's out there, and I like to stop by, and I just really like the place. But I'm glad you do, too. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I had a neighbor who moved out of the Short North a couple of years ago into Grandview and said he had the best meal of his life at Paul's.
Yeah.
So there must be something to it. It sounds as though that's one of those places that has quality, good price, and friendly service.
Paul himself is just a big supporter of the culinary arts in Columbus. He's been involved with Columbus State. He spends a lot of time on the chef's contest and placing people.
He was president of the association a couple of years ago.
Yeah, good guy.
We have about 1 minute here to go, and unfortunately we're probably not going to be able to take any more callers during this hour. But we are going to be doing this on a more regular basis as Fred enjoys his Friday free weeks heretofore. So remember, keep your recommendations handy. Feel free to call us in anytime that we have our panel of restaurant reviewers. Just to wrap it up, Steve, how do you think things look for next year?
I think it's going to be an interesting year. We talked off mic about the fact that restaurants are going to have to make some accommodations, lower prices, have specials, but we want to support, go out and dine out and support your Columbus restaurants, particularly your top Columbus restaurants, so we can have that wonderful resource for our community.
We've come so far. We want to stay there.
Absolutely. And I think we're all ready for a little lunch. It's 12 o'clock noon.
I'm starved.
I'm Marilyn Smith, and we've been talking with WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, and City Scene restaurant reviewer Steve Stover. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you, Marilyn.
This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at wosu.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from OSU's Melton Center for Jewish Studies, presenting a tribute to Samuel Melton with keynote speaker Les Wexner, Monday, January 12th at 7 p.m. at the Fawcett Center on the OSU campus. More at meltoncenter.osu.edu.